A few quick musings on my future life in content, where it can really take off, and where it can really, really go wrong. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Eric Vitello, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. When I've talked with people who are confused by me and what I'm about, I try to explain that I'm a bizarre mutant hybrid of geekiness and outward extrovert. I like being on stage. I love walking up to people I don't know and beginning conversations. I look at the world full of potential and the variety of people within it, and I want to know them better. But I'm also comfortable with vast amounts of data and very specific tasks that extend deep into the night, never looking up, always trying to figure out if every single bit is in place, every file described, and every last proper move taken. Combining both those outlooks and putting them into one person is dangerous. It means that I'm capable of working on these very extensive projects and working with others, but then turning around and letting a general audience know about why they're important to me, why they're important to the people I work with, and what needs to be done if people want to join us. How that more outward aspect of my personality expressed itself was usually with presentations, cases where I would travel and go on stage and be part of conferences and events or just asked to speak to a group of people, and I'd be able to draft on stage a vision of what drove me and made me do what I did and maybe bring the audience in as part of that. There's nothing more exciting to me than having a live, breathing audience reacting to the things that I'm saying in real time. So while the appeal of turning off a podcast interview session and immediately being home 2 milliseconds later is extremely alluring, a part of me wishes that I could be performing, creating, doing things live, and putting them together. In the contemporary world, we call those people streamers, people who are living their lives online and interacting with audiences. And I've experimented with that life. Because I come from a mass communications background, I know the nature of radio and television. I know what's involved, what goes on behind the scenes, the ingredients for making something successful, or at least making something complete and professional that others would want to be a part of. And if it's not your area, there's a number of aspects to it that I don't think are very obvious. The most striking is that, with very little exception, and I don't even think those exceptions apply, it's never a single-person or two-person operation. When you see somebody who is successfully putting out a YouTube channel or writing something consistently and creating it, there's other people involved, editors, contributors, researchers who are making it happen, folks with assignments who are trying to get things done for you to bring them over to you so you don't have to spend the hours doing it. At one point, on a Friday night, I got a call from one of John Oliver's research people where he was at a bar. He was obviously supposedly off for the night, but actually he was chasing down potential websites that had gone offline and asking me if we could drag it out of the Wayback Machine. Now, as it turned out in that particular transaction, we didn't have what he needed, but he knew to talk to me on the phone over the sounds of shouting, trying to gather this information before the weekend broadcast. That's a person that you never hear of working very, very hard. I am positive that most of the successful people you hear of are working with a group of folks who prefer not to be in the spotlight. So, if I was to ever become anything like these folks, I would have to become a staff. And what would that be? What would be the clear idea that I was trying to get across? An enjoyment of nostalgia and the way things were? looking over of old technology and spending time doing all of these somnambulistic and stretched out experiences, trying to understand things that were there before. Left alone for long periods of time, I can go into a pretty strange conversational loop, reaching out to people in a chat window and responding to them in real time. But I wouldn't be getting a lot of things done. I'm very proud of the fact that nowadays I have so many scripts that I work with and so many pieces of data that I sift through that in a single day in my 50s, I'm doing more than I did in a month in my 20s, when it comes at least to data. That's a very powerful and satisfying feeling. Even as I push through health problems and the usual ups and downs of feelings and of being alive, I can always say, at the end of the week, I left things a little better than how I found them. Becoming somebody who is generating content, whether it was streaming or mini documentaries or YouTube videos, requires me to become part of a system. Now, you may find this ironic because right now I'm part of a system, the Patreon system, where every month I release a series of episodes and they each take me time to put together and to edit and make functional. In fact, I spend several hours on each episode that ends up as a podcast. But if I took that further, made it into a show, had visual aspects and a set and photographing it to make it as good as possible, that would be all of my time. One of the reasons I had to make one of the hardest choices of my life, documentary or internet archive, was because I couldn't do either of them halfway. Nothing makes me sadder than working on a project, having the basic information in there, but it looks rushed and it feels like you didn't spend enough time making it as compact and dense and informative as it could be. I chose the Patreon ecosystem because every single unit represents its own project. It's not based on time. This episode format lets me put out as many or as few episodes in a year as I feel would be good. I'm not being backed into some sort of schedule where every time I miss things for a week, I end up falling farther and farther behind. I found that anxiety overwhelming when I would put myself in that position in other places. I worked on zines and newsletters and projects with others, and as time-based metrics came crushing down on me, I would become more and more stressed, depressed, and unproductive. I would lose time hiding away from things that I knew were looming. I didn't want that to happen here. I look forward to getting into the recording box and making the noise that I do about the world that I see. If I was to move into YouTube with its worlds of monetization and engagement metrics, you would have to make a product that fulfilled those needs. This is one of the reasons why there's a bizarre, kind of almost scary sameness to so many episodes in YouTube. Because people are working towards metrics. They need to ask you to subscribe. They need to go on for 5 or 10 minutes and do something that doesn't take a lot of effort for them, but makes you watch as long as possible. If you've ever watched a video and wondered why they're shoving 5 minutes of content into 15 minutes, it's because they need you to stick around. Otherwise, invisible algorithms cause their shows to disappear under the waves. For this show, as it pushes out to various podcast networks, it actually bases itself by the number of reviews and ratings. I don't ask people to play with those because I'm not really interested in selling you to be part of my army of people to promote me. That's not what this is about. I wish in fleeting moments that there was a way to produce something that was fun and informative and insightful, accurate, and involving figures and facts that I dug up from the world, people who otherwise wouldn't get a voice, and interacting with them and introducing them to new audiences, becoming, like it was with the BBS documentary, often the only long-form interview with people that was ever conducted in their lives, and when they're gone, us having a record of them speaking about what was important to them. I would love to do that, but it would be, I think, all I did. I'd be a host to the world instead of a participant, instead of the person who makes phone calls and arrangements and helps people, who tracks down obscure programs to preserve them, who cries out in the wilderness about remembering our digital history and keeping websites alive as best as we can. This is who I am, delighted to come in here, to speak into a microphone, to share my thoughts, to work through my place in the world and what it all means and meant. And you are a participant in that, listening now, giving me feedback, and together, maybe, we'll all learn something about ourselves. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bekoianu, Mark Pilgrim, Peter Healy, Emilio Oliveira, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, Matt Reynolds, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. When I think harder about the idea of generating content beyond what I do, it is clear that I would have to partner with people. And when I really think about it, sit back about how it could even be possible to do so, I realize that maybe my position these days is mentor, somebody who gives insight into what I learned during my first 50 years, and talking to somebody at the beginning of their career or deep in some part of it, and telling them what I know, and maybe in some way taking my experience as a way of inspiring them to make that leap.